صحبه وسلم على رسوله الكريم. حضرت ابو هريره رضي الله تعالى عنه reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever reads 10 ayat at night will not be counted amongst the neglectful. It takes only a few minutes to read 10 ayat. Doing so saves a person from being included in the list of the neglectful for that night. It is really a great reward. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever reads 5 salah will not be written amongst the neglectful, and whoever reads 100 ayat at night will be written amongst the obedient ones. Whoever reads 100 ayat at night will be written among the obedient ones. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has reported, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam once told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that many fitnas, evil trials will certainly appear. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, what will be the way out, O Jibreel? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what will be the way out, O Jibreel? He replied, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To practice on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a protection against evil, and its reading saves a person from these evils. It has already been mentioned previously that if the Quran is read in a house, peace and mercy comes down on it and shaitan leaves the place. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam told the Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders you to read his book, and if you do so, you will be like the people protected in a fort. On whichever side the enemy wants to attack you from, they will find the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there is a guard to chase them. We continue with the social etiquettes of Islam. Today we read about seeking permission when entering a place which is restricted. Before entering a house or any place of privacy, it is necessary to seek permission. Do not enter without permission. Stand outside and proclaim the salam. Then seek permission in any language. If asked who is there, then do not say me or I or any other ambiguous statement which will perplex the person inside. Mention the name by which you are well known by the person inside. If you are known as Mufti, Maulana, Doctor, etc., then there is no harm in stating so as long as the intention is identification and not pride. When asked who is there, many people reply by saying, Assalamu alaikum. This is incorrect. They should mention their name as well. If there is a Jamaat or a group of people, one should state so. Example, Muhammad is here with a Jamaat. If the curtain is open, do not look into the house. Looking into the house is like intruding without permission. Stand at the side of the door and knock or ring the bell. If you are living with your parents, and even if you have to serve them, seek permission before entering their private room or quarters. In public places like masjids, airports, hospitals, there is no need to seek permission to enter. However, one should abide by the rules mentioned there. For example, certain places are marked no entry. It is not permissible to enter there without permission from the authorities. In hospitals, they are visiting hours as well as a limit of patients. One must abide by these rules.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. We were discussing about keeping a perfect roza. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. But the basics of the rozas, which we all know, not eating, drinking, and not satisfying our desires and our lust from the legal sources, from what is permissible for us. but still a person keeps away from that. And together with that, we discussed about the Rosa of the Tongue, that all the things that we are not supposed to speak about. And also, if we stay away from permissible things in during this 1 month, just like the three basic things, we are staying away not from haram, that we have to stay away all the time, but from the permissible things we are, the halal, we are asked to stay away. So, we're talking, if we stay away from permissible talking, then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will make it possible for us to stay away from the haram of our speech. And that will be for the rest of the year, and consequently inshallah our whole life also. So we will stay away from haram. A person whose tongue is guarded, that person is very safe. And if the tongue is not guarded, then the person comes into a lot of problems. And together with that, we said, it is associated with the ears. They go together. And what is haram to see is haram to hear also. Whatever is haram to see, what is haram to talk with our tongue, that is haram to hear also. To speak a lie is haram. To listen to a lie is also haram. To gossip is haram. To listen to gossiping is also haram. To backbite is haram. To listen to backbiting is also haram. So that also comes. And we become an accessory to the crime, whatever that was. So we have to guard our ears also. At the tongue, Allah Ta'ala has put a lot of protection, because the tongue speaks more. The ears, there is no protection. Sounds just go in. As we heard in the kitab, most probably it was, that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where there was a shepherd, he was his flute, and the musical tone was coming, he put his fingers in his ears. And that is what we should do today also, with regard to which we will come to, but it has come to mind. Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh was one time at Karachi airport, and in the waiting lounge, and the passengers of the planes were passing there, in which women also there are. So for precaution, he told them to turn his wheelchair facing the wall. Now he's just facing the wall. Now many people will say, what's wrong with this man? But the person who's got worry about his iman, about his akhirat, for him it wouldn't matter. For example, you are in such a place also, where there is a woman are walking, and now you at that place you don't know what to do. You bend down and just fasten your shoelace, or just make your shoes right. So at least you get saved from that. So anyway, the ears have got no like protection. Anything that goes into the ear, and we have to be careful that we protect our ears also. And whatever we speak also, what we hear also, it goes to the mind, and then it goes into the heart. One is just a light thing, casual. But then these things, they go into the heart also. What a person talks about also, and that is why, like in the Jamaat, for example, always give da'wat, always give da'wat. Then it will go into your heart. What you speak about at that time, it's not in your yaqeen is not on that. But it will come. If the more you will speak about it, and the more you will listen also. But your ears, you are listening also, all this will go into your heart. And when a person speaks, his own ears are the closest to what is coming out. And he is the first one to hear after that. The others also hear, but he hears the first. So if we will speak good things all the time, and like here in Ramzan, we carry on with our tilawat of Quran Sharif all the time. So we will be reading it with our lips, our tongue, and we will be hearing it also. And a person should read even in namaz so much at least that you can hear yourself what you are reading. So by this, it has a tremendous effect on a person. That's on the positive side. All this, we're making zikr, for example. Zikr also is such a thing that all the time you are taking Allah's name. All the time you are taking Allah's name. What a beautiful example our buzurgs have given, that if one drop of water falls from a tap onto a rock also, then it will make a hole finally. Slowly, slowly, on that hard rock, it will make a hole also. So in the same way, our hearts can be as hard as they are, can be, but continuously taking the name of Allah, Allah, Allah. And we try and be conscious and we concentrate on the heart. It has to have its effect also. But we have to do it the required amount and in the required way. And Allah give more tawfiq with that enthusiasm. So that is having, and then we hearing the Allah with our ears. From there also it's going into the heart. It all goes to the brain, and then from there it goes to the heart. So this continuously we do, it will have a tremendous effect. So if we use these things correctly in the month of Ramadan, we know what great effects we will get. And if we have to use it wrongly in Ramadan, then unfortunately the consequences also will be disastrous. And if we stay away from permissible things also as a training, as a spiritual training, and this we find the root of it is in our deen. For example, those three Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who did not go out into the battle of Tabuk. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where we find so many ahadith, he encouraged to make salam. But for them he said, don't make salam to them also. And if they make salam, you don't reply also. Husband and wife relations, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who could explain it more better? But he asked them to separate also. So, but this is not permanent. It is just as a treatment. So this treatment, the Buzurgani Deen, many people, they have objection. How can you stop people from this, from that, etc.? And we find many instances like that. For example, one great Sheikh Khalid Kurdi, rahmatullah alayh, who was a Arab, who was a from Kurdistan originally, but he was in Sham, Syria, and it came in him. He was a great alim, and he was doing a lot of work of deen also, everything he was doing. But he still found that I'm lacking in my direct contact with Allah. With all that he had, but they haven't still got that direct contact with Allah Ta'ala. So he decided to go on a Hajj journey. And in those days, in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, till now also, there are great, great awliya that are present all the time. In that time, even much more than now. I'll again digress from here a little bit. I am digressing, again more digress also. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, has written that roughly about 100 years ago, it was most probably his first journey to Haramain Sharifain. And he found there that all the Arabs were engaged in ibadat, often the Ramzan, and a whole night they should make ibadat. And he says, from there I got the habit to stay awake from at night. And then almost the whole life, towards the end, Hazrat became more ill and that, but he stayed awake the whole night. It was in the month of Ramadan. But he said 6 years later when I went, it is now perhaps 94 years ago, 93 years ago. He says then the amount of shops that had come, and there is not the shopping malls of today. That's what shops they were. We saw those little shops, but there were so many shops that now nobody was making ibadat. Now all I had the shops. And he says that the later time I went and we saw TVs are in the houses. Now the ibadat also went. Now they were sitting in front of the TVs. So all these things we have to consider. So anyway, so Sheikh Khalid Kurdi, when he went to Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, and so many great buzurgs, and he wanted to find somebody that can give him how he can get connected with Allah Ta'ala. So lot of dars also, still now also, alhamdulillah, durus take place in the haram. So in one dars he heard that a person was giving the dars, that he was saying that a person has got this ni'mat of ilm, of everything else also, he's teaching deen, he's practicing deen, but one great thing that he should have is the love of Allah. So he thought, this is what I'm looking for. So he took permission from the person and he said, I just want to say a few words. So he said his few words. He said that this is what I came and look for, and I make dua that I get it. Then there was somebody in Medina Sharif, a buzurg, great person who is heart inclined to, and he sat with him, but it didn't still click properly, but his heart inclined very greatly to him. The time came for him to go to Makkah Sharif now. And as usual till today also, we go from here also, we ask ulama, other people make dua, give us some nasihat. So he asked this buzur for some nasihat. That buzur told him, when you enter the haram of Makkah, in whichever condition you see any person, don't have any objection to that person. Not even in your heart. So Allah's doing When he came into the haram, the first person his eyes fell on was a person with his back to the Kaaba and his legs stretched out. So he said, where are we of the Kaaba? So immediately that person called him. And he asked him, that what did that Buzur tell you in Medina Sharif? So he said, this is what I'm looking for. So he gave his hand, make me bad. He said, no, your share is in India. So he was a talib, a sadiq, a true seeker. Like your ulama give the example, if a person is desperate for water, how he look for water everywhere, nothing will stop him, but he wants to get that water. Obviously, he's a talib, a sadiq, a true talib, and he wants that water. Today, commonly we find that, for example, in the Darul Ulooms also, where they are supposed to be talib ilm. Some of our Muslims said they are talib ilm. They are not seeking the knowledge. Anyway, some students come and they are talibu ta'am. They come for food. And some are talibu naum. They come for sleep. They get a nice chance to sleep. Many people go in jamaat. We can cover up our sleep when we go in jamaat. And today they are talibul jawwal. The cell phone all the time. That is what they want. And you take it away, qiyamah comes. If you take your cell phone away. So a talib is sadiq. A person who's got true talam. So after Hajj, he didn't go back to his country. He went to India. And there also he went looking. And Allah give us tawfiq that we find many great people, how they looked for their sheikh, where they went, and who was meant for them, how they found them finally. Anyway, looking, he came to Delhi, where it was the time of Mirza Jani Jana, rahmatullah alayhi, Khalifa. Shah Ghulam Ali Muhammad. Yeah, anyway, he was the Khalifa of Mirza Jani Jana Rahmatullah Ali. Very great Buzur. And it was also the time of Shah Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Ali, one of the great illustrious sons of Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali. So there he became Ba'at and he stayed there for 40 days. This point I wanted to bring, this was just the Muqaddama for this point here. So when he stayed here, then Abdul Aziz came and meet him also. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't meet you. My sheikh has given me to do my wazifas, etc., what I have to do. And he carried on properly what the sheikh told him, diligently he just carried on. Then another sheikh, similarly, he went, also a great alim, doing great work of deen, but also he wanted to find Allah Ta'ala and direct contact with Allah Ta'ala. So when he went there, the sheikh gave him some zikr to make, and when he found out that at some time he's reading Quran Sharif also, he stopped him from Quran Sharif. So it was enough on the whole town. People said, you're Muslim even. That is stopping a person from reading Quran Sharif. But this I wanted to show that these things here, the Mashayikh do it, and for a while. So anyway, he stopped him, and he stopped him from all his dini work. He used to give fatwas, he used to give khutbas, he used to give bayans, everything. He stopped him from all that. And then, only this year. And then he stopped him from Quran Sharif also. But when he completed his jilla, now when he read Quran Sharif, it was completely different. Now when he gave his bayans, almost every person in one bayan became a wali of Allah Ta'ala. Now the change had come. So this process carries on. So anyway, Shah Khalid Kurdi rahmatullah alayhi, after he completed his jilla, he went himself to go and meet Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib. He told him that I can't meet you now. I have to do my work for what I have come. I will meet you afterwards when I complete. When he returned, such great ulama, like Allama Alusi, Musannif of Ruh al-Ma'ani, and Ibn Abidin Shami, rahmatullahi, they became his murids and his khalifas. So now see it, and the whole world is benefiting from them till today. So this is that process. So if we spend our time, where we started? The zikr. And we make our zikr continuously and we spend our time correctly, we can get a great, great treasure from Allah Ta'ala. May Allah bless us with that love of Allah. And what it is, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That a person reaches that stage as though he is seeing, as though he is seeing Allah Ta'ala. In other words, the manifestation of Allah will be so clear to him. that whatever he looks on, he will only see Allah Ta'ala. In his namaz also, he will be just concentrating. Then that easy concentration will come. These people who have reached that, when they eating, they understand this food from where it has come. What is the great? What are the great namaz of Allah Ta'ala? For example, one plate of biryani. And where the rice came from, you just slightly think about it. What all the chefs said that had to bring it, and then all the computers that are doing the paperwork and all that, the cranes, and in order to make one chef, one crane, one computer, how many other things are required? All this so that I can get this one morsel of food. There's a little bit of rice in there, perhaps a little chicken or mutton, all the masalas which are in there, and then it was cooked on the stove itself. Who and who worked the plates, the electricity, Allahu Akbar, you can't fathom it. And then the water that was used, from where the water came, how the pipes the people put, who made those pipes, also that you can get, and your each luqma, what you put in your mouth, each morsel of food, is musawwamatan, is what your name written. For who it is meant, Allah will send it to that person and it will come to you. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, what's meant for you, you will definitely get. And what's not meant for you, even if it's in your mouth, you won't eat it. And we find many times you take a sweet or something, you put it in your mouth, and your 2-3 year old child comes and he forces it out. He takes it out. It wasn't meant for you, you can't have it. How much was it meant? That little bit you touched, so much was meant for you. The others was not meant for you. And on the other hand, what is meant for you, even if you don't want to eat it, you will still have to eat it. A story is written of that one person will have said, I want to see how Allah will feed me when I don't eat. So he took a box of mithai with about four laddu, whatever it was, and he went in the jungle. He left it at the bottom and he sat on the branch and the tree. And he said, I'll see how Allah feeds me, I won't eat. So it happened that some crooks, bandits, were passing there. And they found a box of mithai. They got very happy. They were also four. It looks like it's put for us, the four. But one other one said, be careful. They are four and we are four. Looks like somebody has put poison in here. And he wants to feed us so that we die. So they said, let's look for him. When they looked up, they saw this person sitting. They said, you put this here. He said, yes. So they say, there must be poison. So he said, no poison. So he's trying to convince them. They said, no, you'll have to eat. And now, this is very rich also, with all the ghee and all, very, very rich. So they forced him to eat one, second one. They pushed the third and fourth one down. And he had to eat it to prove that there isn't poison in there. So, if what is not meant for you, you will have to eat it. And what is meant for you, you will have to eat it. And what is not meant for you, you can't get it. So wherever we are, remember our rosy is just as rosy looks for us as moth looks for us. Moth looks for us as rosy looks for us. A person's rosy is fixed by Allah Ta'ala. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Allah has fixed the rosy. And moth only comes to a person when he has completed his rosy. In fact, Malakul Moth sees everyone crying there in the room. He says, I have done nothing. He's finished his rosy. So I have to take him away now. And I'll come and take everyone. I won't leave anyone. I'll come and take everyone. So anyway, so we have to be, our dhikr, the positive side, use our tongue correctly. Tilawat of Quran, zikrullah, etc., all those things. The bayans that there are, and if we're listening to any other bayans, good proper bayans, that we carry on. We read it and we hear it also. And this will make the iman grow in the heart. After that, the next thing that we want to speak about, which we have to keep roza about, is the eyes. That we have to keep roza of the eyes also. And that is also very important. With regard to that, there are various aspects. We look at somebody, there are various things which we see which are haram. One is strange woman that we are not supposed to look at, that everyone, hopefully we all understand it. There is also one thing, in fact, though we all know it, but tell our Shaykh, Hazrat Malana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimullah, same year. And then only, the way he emphasized it, Hazrat emphasized it, we became conscious. Otherwise, we were casual about it, perhaps. Everyone, we don't know. But I'm talking for myself, that we weren't paying attention. happened. We came from the Khanqa of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayh, though it was not emphasized, but this that environment of that i'tikaf was such that, alhamdulillah, it saved us tremendously. But slowly, then no contact, no more writing letters, zikr became weak. Then a person becomes unmindful, he falls into ghaflat. And then when Hazrat came, he again established it very, very strongly how he established. So anyway, that we all know is haram to look. And we have to become conscious of it. Many things we know that they are wrong, but the gravity of it, the seriousness of speaking lies, backbiting, everyone knows it's wrong. Not only Muslims, even in other people, even if a person is an atheist, he will tell you to speak lies is very bad, to backbite is very bad. They will also, but the gravity of it, though we know, and we talk about it, but we fall prey to it again. So like that with the eyes, also. So anyway, that we know it is haram to look. And to look at somebody who is a male. But with this, that you look down upon him, that is also totally haram. You see, and this happens also. We are sitting in the masjid. Now we see somebody has come. We glance at the person, or he came and sat next to us or something. And now we, oh, this person. And our whole file opens in the mind. And hikarat, we look down upon it. But bumani, we have bad thoughts about him. So that look of the eyes is also haram. Though it is a maid, he's a namazi, he's a musalli, he's got a turban, he's got a beard, kurta, but we're looking down upon him, this happens. Now the imam walks up on the musalla, now we got something about the imam again. Okay, now we speak something, not speak, in our mind, in our heart, something about the imam. So these are also gunas of the eyes, which perhaps we don't think about also. We know to look at other things is haram. And also then, to look at layani, or things which are not necessary. Where we drive, we walking or we driving, so many things on the side of the road, which is not haram as such, but it is unnecessary. And there may be some fair, some show, and we see all this here, we taking interest in it, all those things also. And the more we get closer to Allah Ta'ala, then really we don't have to give up these things. A person won't have to be tarike guna, but he will become matruke guna. The gunas will just leave him. Like in autumn, the leaves on the trees, you don't have to take a stick and hit on the branches to bring the leaves down. You get tired picking up the leaves. You just clean today all the leaves, just you turn your back, so many leaves again. So when a person will get this, Allah bless us with the treasure of our contact with Allah, when we guard all these things, then gunas will leave us. Our speech will come right now. Our ears will come right now, hearing. Our eyes will come right now, seeing also. So all this, so in these aspects also we must consider that how to control our eyes. That we will do when we go out from the i'tikaf at the end. But here now, we have to try and give up all permissible things which we can look at also. Then by the barakat of that, Allah will make it that we look away from the haram also. And it will become easy. Like that, many a person we find very hard to look after. To look after our eyes, one of the things, the tongue also, and the eyes also, we will come to that. But Allah Ta'ala has made it such that the mouth, you can keep it closed. Your eyes, Allah gave the shutters. And you can just drop your shutters and you don't see anything. But your ears are open all the time. And that sounds go in. So anyway, with our eyes, which we will discuss, we can drop the shutters and we don't see anything. So we have to keep these rozas, and if we keep it here properly. Now what is it from permissible things here? For example, you don't need anything, but in the kitab shelf, you go in, look there, what's here. You go and see in some corner somewhere, what's kept here, somebody's tent, somebody's goods, you go and see. You're looking at all the other things. Just do your work, what you have to do. When you're on the dastarkhan, normally we find that when we're sitting in one corner, what is on the other corner, our eyes go immediately. And we make sure I don't miss one thing on this dastarkhan. We look immediately, So just see what you have to eat, Maulana Qari Abdullah Sufi Pandor, used to come here for i'tikaf. What a person and what a mart he got also. He used to go down to eat when everyone is eaten finished. And all the crumbs he used to eat. That's all he used to eat. All the crumbs and things which are left over, he should only eat that. And his time, amount of tilawat he should make the whole day. What a great, young, but what a buzurg he was. Well, we didn't recognize. That's our sad story also. While people are alive, we don't recognize them. When they go, then we talk high about them. Allah give us tawfiq and to keep proper roza situation.